What are we calling? Is this a podcast?
Red. It's
awesome. Flash.
Yeah. All right, let's start it up. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. It's Mother's Day in the U.S. and all the rest of the cool parts of the world. Spencer is gone today. He is off doing things for his mother here on American Mother's Day. So I think normally we'd kind of clown on him, but it's probably the one day you get a pass for that, right?
Yeah, we can let him off this time.
what did you guys do for Mother's Day?
Well, I panicked thinking it was Mother's Day here, as I always do when I look at like on Twitter and just see random people tweeting, "Oh, Happy Mother's Day!" And I think, "Oh my," I'm trying not to swear here. I'm doing really well. Just think, "Oh bollocks," you know. I've completely forgot it's Mother's Day because in the UK it's in March, but of course like, I'm not that aware of things, so I never remember. So yeah, this day is always a fun day of panic for me.
For me, I went back to, I spent actually the weekend with my mom, and so I turned Mother's Day into like a 5-day kind of thing, because we had a day off as well. So that was pretty fun, and yeah, I didn't really know it was Mother's Day until today, but my dad reminded me, and it was actually a pretty nice weekend with my mom, so we had a good time, we watched some movies, went for a walk, had some burgers, so all good fun stuff.
You know, whole mommy week.
The what?
You had a whole mommy week.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, my I have a hot take on Mother's Day, actually. I think instead of having it just on one day, it should be like every day.
How does a person have a hot take on Mother's Day?
You have a hot take on Mother's Day?
Well, like, I don't like celebrating it just on one day because, like, mothers do so much for us and they're like, I feel like they're not appreciated enough, so... You know, I'd rather just celebrate it every day instead of just limiting it.
Yeah, if you do that, then it's not special, is it? It's like if you had Christmas every day, it wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be good, would it?
Well, I mean, yeah, but like, what? I don't know. But I just feel like we should appreciate our mothers more and give thanks for everything they do.
I don't think that's a hugely controversial opinion, to be honest.
Conversely, you could ignore your mother for 364 days. And then it just makes the one day all the more special when you remind her that, you know she exists and you love her, right?
Or you could appreciate her every day and then even a bit more on one day and then make her feel extra loved. That's what I do. And she was like, yeah, I'm totally fine with you not celebrating on one day because I always feel appreciated by you. So it works out great for me.
Like, I love that your hot take was like, mothers are great and we should love them all year long.
It was more spicy. About like that, not celebrating it on just one day, celebrating it every day. But yeah.
Yeah. I made my wife a nice big breakfast and she is taking our daughter out for the day for they're doing a whole mommy daughter thing. So I am free to stay here and, you know, do much housework for her.
Have you seen your own mother today or?
I sent her a text. She lives far away, so it's not like I can pop in.
Not even a video.
Not even a call. Yeah,
Not even a call. Like, well, like my camera on my phone doesn't work still.
Oh no! Excuses are out.
Anyway, though, back to Clash of Clans.
Right. Yeah. Forgot this was a Clash of Clans podcast.
You know, we're more than a year away from the Electromommy stuff. Who do you think would be? Like, which Clash of Clans troop, hero, whatever, do you think is the most motherly?
Pekka.
Pekka is a female. What about you, Liam?
And I always think, there's a mini Pekka as well. It's like her kids. So, I think it all lines up quite nicely there.
Mini Pekka? What?
Did I miss it? I don't think it's not in Clash of Clans, but like in Clash Royale and stuff.
But that's the wrong game, Sam. Come on. Like,
yeah, but it's the same universe.
Well, whatever. I personally think the most motherly troop would be the Lava Hound, because, I mean, technically, do we know a male?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, she has pups, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She has lava pups, and she explodes, and she's, like, sacrificing herself for a kid, so it's like, oh, what a sweet act of love.
I've seen a lot of healers in the comments here. Yeah, healer makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That is very motherly, hovering over you. Taking care of you, fixing your boo-boos. Yeah, I think they just convinced me that it's got to be healer.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, that's enough about mothers. In game, it's Space Jam month. Have you guys been playing the event?
You mean
Space Jam, dude?
No, event.
Yeah, it's Space Jam because a bunch of cartoon characters kid, come in, kidnap a pro athlete, bring him into a cartoon world, and make him fight monsters with him. It's Space Jam.
Oh, I thought you were just having a complete moment there. I thought you just lost it.
No, Rick has everything planned out in advance.
I know, he's got his little jokes and all his little funny puns planned out to make us go, what?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, had you guys heard of Harland before the start of this month?
Never.
I've honestly never heard of him. I don't really follow soccer that much. But it's funny because I thought he was like Swedish for some reason.
Yesterday or the day before, you agreed with me and said it was football. And now when you're in the public, you've been bullied back into saying soccer. What's going on here?
It's because Rick's here. He's making me nervous. And I'm kind of afraid of him.
Oh, that's pathetic.
Liam has a long history of pretending to be American. So whenever I challenge him on all of his European nonsense, then he like comes back tail between the legs and he'll start doing stuff like saying soccer and
connected there.
Saying he went out for burgers with his dad for Mother's Month.
With whatever he had.
Okay, to be fair, we do eat burgers over here as well.
Is that not an American thing? The American city of Hamburg?
Yes. But it's called football, if anyone's wondering.
Yes, Silky. In our little comments, it was originally called soccer when the British invented it. And then they backed down.
No, it's not. It was originally called football, and then it was changed.
It was.
I've watched a YouTube video about the whole naming of football and soccer, and football came first, okay?
It was originally called soccer.
I refuse to believe that, according to my YouTube video.
I think the large Reddit response to the Haaland event has been, hey, it's this Haaland. Is like it's Haaland.
It's Haaland.
Like the Haaland. Do you got to do the double A?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say Haaland, and you're just gonna go with it.
Oh, fine.
Like literally the first time I ever saw the name was like when you had said, "Wow, I can't believe they got Haaland." And I 3 days later is when I made the connection with like, oh, that's the guy.
Oh, you didn't even realize what I was talking about when I said that originally.
No, I didn't know.
No. Oh, right.
Like even creators didn't know this was coming. They kept it secret from us even until like literally the day it was announced.
Oh, right.
No leaks on that.
Yeah, I'm surprised actually. There were no leaks. Actually, I guess that was why there were no leaks. They didn't tell creators.
Yeah, well, and there was nothing to like put into the game, really either. No, like the spiky ball leaked, the yellow card leaked. Like, I don't know that the kicker troops and the giant troops leaked, but some of it did. But the whole concept of the collaboration didn't leak, at least, which I think was the point with not telling us or anyone.
Yeah, but it's definitely interesting, isn't it? Having real life kind of crossover into Clash of Clans, we haven't really seen that before.
Yeah, and Reddit went crazy over that. There's so many complaints and stupid fights over, like, the realism in the game and comparing it to when they removed flags. Because, like, one of the statements was, like, we want to keep the real world separate from the Clash universe when they got rid of flags. And now
and
that
they bring back
now world. We have the Space Jam going on where they suck the dude in. And people are losing their crap. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's because people enjoy finding things to get annoyed about. I mean, if you're genuinely annoyed about that, you go, well, they removed flags saying it was too political, and look at this now, they've brought the real world back in. If you're actually annoyed about that, you're looking for a reason to be annoyed. You're not actually annoyed. I mean, it's pretty clear there's a big difference between having political flags of entities, which has always caused trouble in any, you know, section of the world, whereas a football player isn't the same kind of controversy, is it?
Yeah, I don't know, it's dumb. Like, there's plenty of real world stuff already, like, you know, Christmas makes it in, holidays.
Exactly.
A ton of stuff. Like, there was already, like, a big chess collaboration.
Yeah, and, yeah, Haaland's not, well, the only way you could see Haaland as being controversial is to do with Man City, but even then, that's just, it's just not even the same thing, so... Yeah, people on Reddit can grow up.
Is he like a controversial like player at all, or is he pretty much universally loved?
He's not controversial, but the club he plays for is. So, I guess that could be your...
What's controversial about it?
Well, his club, Man City, are one of the most successful English teams at the moment. And in, I think, 2008, they were taken over by, God, which Middle Eastern country is it? One of them. It might be Abu Dhabi or Qatar. It's one of them, at least. No, it's the UAE. Well, yeah,
the UAE. Don't they own half your league anyway?
Well, they own my football club as well, so, yeah. But that's the Saudis, so it's fine. But yeah, so they got taken over in 2008, and then last year they were charged with breaking financial rules, and to be exact, 115 charges, which is a lot. So they're currently being investigated for that, and obviously if they're found guilty, they could get a pretty heavy punishment. So they're not liked by a lot of people because they're considered to be cheats, and yeah. I will disclaim they are unproven because I genuinely don't know if I could get like a lawsuit from Manchester City for calling them cheats on a podcast or something. So it's not proven yet, but that is the situation.
You always say allegedly.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the only controversial thing.
Yeah, I don't really care about introducing real stuff to you. Like I know the chess collaboration. I was told was like really massive for Clash. This has got to be just as well. And I'm like, I wouldn't really be surprised if there's a lot more collaborations in the future. Maybe not with specific celebrities or athletes or whatever, but just that kind of, you know, bringing something outside in just to attract new players and remind old players that, you know, the game's still around and thriving. Like, it's probably going to be a lot more normal in the future.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit unique, like you said, as in Haaland is clearly a special case where he's been playing the game for about a decade, which is quite funny to me. And he actually asked for the collaboration, and I don't think you're going to see that with many celebrities. But yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to them doing more, like, you know, more collaborations in the future, as long as it doesn't lead to advertising in-game. I think that's where I draw the line, but anything in this in a similar vein to this, I'm reasonably happy with.
And I know I got wind of a potential upcoming collaboration that I think is going to be probably as controversial, but for different reasons.
Christ!
No, okay. Like it brings new players in and it brings old players back. It's good for the game, you know, whether or not it fits thematically or not. Like I don't really care.
Liam, are you desperate to get a contribution in there?
You know that tutorial they force you to go through for each new kind of event? In a way, I feel like that's a bit advertising, and I find it really annoying. And I wish you could just skip it or just not be forced to go through it every time, because when you do that on several accounts, it's a colossal waste of your time.
Where he pops up and explains the event?
Yeah. You have to do that on every account. Whereas, why can't they just make it so it's once per a device? That would be way smarter, I think.
Could you imagine the wasted developer time that would be for, like, people who care about that? Yes. Or one, actually.
It would save players lots of time, and I would be all for it.
Like, you can tap through it. It takes 3 seconds, you know? It's kind of your own fault you're having to do it 200 times.
I suppose, but it's still a complaint I have, and I wish they'd do something about it, so. And that is a bit of a kind of advertising for the event in a way. So, like, what about if I'm a player who just doesn't care about the event? Like, I just want to do my own thing, you know?
That is such ridiculous logic. I'm not even going to argue.
It's advertising, though.
No, but what? So, Superstore can't tell you about things in the game, or it's advertising?
Well, they can, but it has to be like an optional thing. Like,
it's a little tutorial, and the vast majority of people only have to ever see it once.
They're not telling you to go buy a Man City shirt and go to the next City game for, you know, get a hospitality package for a few £1,000. They're just saying, here's the free stuff we're giving you, here's the event, this is how it works. Yeah, I do not know how you could call that advertising.
Well, we can justify anything, so it works out either way.
No, we can't, but you can try.
What are your thoughts on the spiky ball epic equipment?
I'm not sure, because it feels a little bit too similar to the Seeking Shield. It doesn't feel particularly unique enough for me, and on the King, I don't know. I haven't seen many great use cases for it, but if anyone wants to enlighten me, please, please do.
I would just like the bouncing animation. Like, I think that's really awesome and cool. But in terms of skill or usefulness, not too sure about that one.
I unlocked it and maxed it on my 8 and my 9, and I love it on those levels, especially for farming this event, because I'm still going to finish up the bonus tracks because I need the ore to save up for the next epic on those. Yeah. But it made, like, the spiky ball and the giant arrow and the little barb kickers make farming this event so freaking easy. It's going so fast on my low accounts because everything's so small and you can almost always reach everything with either a barb kicker or those abilities. It makes it really easy, like super fast. I can just only use heroes on most of them and be done.
Have you used it at town 16?
I haven't upgraded it yet at 16. I've been watching clanmates and watching videos on it. Because the deal with it is, are you going to swap out the rage vial for it, essentially, is what you're doing at 16, because you're still keeping the gauntlet. And I think at best, it's situational where it's better. It's not always better than rage vial, and sometimes it's worse and sometimes it is better, so it kind of makes sense for it to be like a war only equipment for me, and that's what I think I'll do for like rage, the root rider valk spam when there's like a core that's a little more spaced out and you're not going to get as much splash value out of the gauntlet in rage vial. I think I'd use it there only, but other than that, like, no, I don't really. Like, I think it's good. I think it's just kind of on par with the rage vial. So I don't think people need to invest a ton of ore in it if they're not really interested or they have other priorities. But I don't think you'll regret having a max one either.
It just takes out a few buildings every time, doesn't it? Like, that's just glorified what it does, no?
Okay, at max. So you have to, like, the breakpoints, I think, for the spiky ball are, like, level 21 and then, like, level 27 as far as the ball ability goes. Because at 20... It's 18 or 21 where you get 8 targets, and you don't get 9 targets until 27. You're getting more ball damage up there, but it doesn't really matter because everything you can destroy at like level 21-ish, you're not destroying new buildings until level 27. You're getting a lot of King HP, which is really valuable, but as far as the ball ability goes, like it's not really a whole lot of extra. It's not really important until you get to 27, and then at level 27, it gains the ability to destroy spell towers, and I think there's one other, like, 3,100-ish defense building. It might be Wiz Towers, I'm not sure.
See, my main thing with it is it, I must admit, I've hardly used it. Is it particularly easy to aim? Because it feels like you just, press
no.
it, and then just, yeah.
That's the drawback on it, too. If you're popping it early, it's going to ping around and destroy a bunch of gold mines, and it's largely wasted. But if you're doing like the Root Rider Valk, where you overgrowth the core of a base and you're finishing on the town hall, it's like the last 10% is, like the town hall and all the stuff in the core. It's really strong in that situation, I think, only right now. Mm. You can invis some stuff and probably do some silly sniping with it, but realistically, the majority of people are going to be doing, an overgrowth rider type of attack and finishing on the core, and it can be really good there. If it's really compact, I think you still want the rage vial and the gauntlet, but if it's a little more spread out of a core, I think the ball is going to be to your advantage to use.
Yeah, and my final question really is, do you think it's different enough to the Seeking Shield to be its own equipment? I mean, I know it's obviously different because it's for the king, but it does feel a bit odd kind of giving different heroes the same kind of equipments, but just slightly rejigging it a bit,
Yeah, I don't know. It's not the most creative thing. I think they really had it designed with the Holland event in mind, obviously. Like, I think originally it was just like, it was literally just called a football.
Wait, what's it called now?
The spiky ball.
Oh, does that have anything to do with Holland or...
I mean, he still kicks it like a soccer ball.
And they couldn't agree between soccer or footballs.
There was when we were first testing it, there was a lot of feedback about, like, hey, this doesn't really feel very clashy. And then I don't know if that was the reason behind the change or not, but yeah.
I guess not calling it a football and calling it a spiky ball does kind of, once this event ends, I don't think many people would look at it and necessarily think they've just taken you know, it doesn't have a too strong a link to real life, so I guess it still fits in with the universe better if they do that.
I do wonder, though, like, in terms of targeting, as Sam was talking about, is it, like, with the fireball, is that easy? Is the fireball easier to target than the spiky ball, or...?
Yes.
Well, the fireball has other problems, too, that I hope they fix, but... fireball is easier to direct towards specific buildings. The spiky ball is... It bounces around to 8-9 targets, you know, you don't really know where it's going to go, and it's hard for me, at least, to predict where it's going to, you know, chain bounce to.
What problems have you been having with the fireball?
Okay, so fireball's been incredibly frustrating because of this. So the warden, like, most of the time when you're using the fireball, you're doing, like, a warden walk with the rage gem and the fireball, or at least I am. And so I put the jellyfish on the warden, and I do, like, a defense targeting warden walk. The warden will choose his next target based on, like, whatever corner or edge of the building is closest to him, like most troops. So when you get big buildings like the town hall or the clan castle or the eagle, you know, those big 4x4, 5x5 buildings, he can pick a corner, and he will start targeting the corner of that building. But the fireball aims at and chooses its target based off the closest center of a building. So because the town hall or eagle are so big, the center of those buildings can be further away than the center of a building way off to the side. So your warden can be targeting a town hall, and you pop the fireball expecting it to hit the town hall, but then see it go off sideways to hit, like, a builder hut way out in the middle of nowhere, and it does nothing for you. It's not a bug, but it is something that's very unexpected and frustrating.
I doubt it's intentional.
So, like, we've brought it up. Me and Trample were having talks with some of the developers, and they're like, yeah, that is, you know, kind of, it's weird and inconsistent and incongruent with what you'd expect, and hopefully they change it. Or, you know, at least make, like, if the warden's already targeting a defense, it would make sense that the fireball would target the same defense. But I don't know if they'll ever change that or not. I hope they do. That's my only problem with the fireball.
It's worth remembering that the King invincibility bug with the giant gauntlet lasts in the game for about a month. So I wouldn't press your hopes on this getting fixed too quickly.
I think it was longer than that.
Yeah, it might be 2 months, actually.
Yeah, they waited until, like, a real update to fix that one.
Which was weird, because it was a pretty big bug.
But also, it was, like, it was our only epic at the time. Like, I don't know that they wanted to leave it in and let us have some fun with it. I don't know if that was part of the calculations, but, it happened.
Everything is a feature.
Yeah, I know. And then, like, random fun fact, too, the way the fireball targets is the same way that the Seeking Shield targets. And maybe... like, I don't know if the spiky ball also targets the metals or not, but it wouldn't surprise me. So they might have to, like, fix something at a more fundamental level for the equipment stuff to change that.
This is probably a dumb question, but if you put the jellyfish on the King with the spiky ball, and then you activate the ability, would that then only go to defenses?
I wouldn't call that a dumb question either. That's, like, one of the first things I asked about seeing it too. And it's you know, it's easy enough to test, but no, the jelly doesn't make the ball target defenses. That would probably be a little too OP.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that with the Royal Champion's Shield would be so cool, as C-Note is saying.
Have you guys been using the jellyfish much, speaking of it?
Nope. I'm just upgrading it.
On Warden Walk Fireball attacks, which are some of my favorite hits lately. Like, when it came out, we were talking about, like, it could have uses on the King and... you know, on the Queen and other stuff, and haven't played with it for a while now. Like, having your King stay with your roots for 30 seconds of an attack isn't really all that valuable. At least it's not more valuable than the Phoenix is. So the other thing I want to talk about too is we had the event troops during CWL. Like, do you think it made a difference?
Nah, who cares? I mean, you could apply that argument to so many things, can you? I don't think it's that big of a deal, especially because... Oh no, it did appear halfway through CWL, didn't it?
Yeah, it was the last couple days of CWL. You could have had them. Well, like, I think you could have had barb kickers the entire time, but then not the giant throwers or the yellow card spell.
But giant throwers are allegedly OP, so they would have probably made a difference in Champions League, or... Yeah.
I saw one giant thrower attack in all of Champs 1 CWL that we did, and it was me doing it. And I got 2 stars.
Yeah, I didn't think it's a huge deal.
Yeah, I did triple a Town Hall 14 with giant throwers in your clan, Liam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, just really spammy, like cloning the giant throwers. It's fun. It can work. I was less consistent than I originally thought it was going to be, because I know I got super excited the first day and I was like, dude, it's tripling everything. And I did triple all my own bases. But I mean, they're my bases and I kind of know them too. So I did it for a few days in Legends to, you know, like 5-6 triples a day. And I only did it once in CWL. I just didn't feel confident enough over Root Riders or Fireballs. But anyways, okay. So Sam, you were saying like, you don't think it's a big deal. Do you think it's not a big deal because of these troops, or just you don't think it's a big deal for any event troops to be in CWL?
I mean, kind of a bit of both. I agree. I don't think these troops have dramatically changed the meta in any sort of way, so I don't feel like it's too much of an unfair advantage there. Yeah, I guess if you think back to when we had the first events, the Halloween one, and you had things like Lava Loon, which were pretty broken, I guess, and maybe I would feel a bit more strongly if the troops were more broken. But I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I think if they did use them in Worlds qualifiers, which is what Note is saying in the chat, I think that's a bit different. Because that has, I guess, a more competitive aspect to it. But I think in CWL, it's not the biggest deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think for lower town halls, it makes more of a difference. But I mean, who cares about lower town halls, CWL? At the end of the day, it's not that competitive either.
I think in principle, I would prefer that event troops stay out of CWL. But these ones weren't that much of a difference maker, it seems. So, in like, you know, I don't, the like Champs 1, I didn't see anyone using them. I hardly even saw the barb kickers being used to help set funnels. Like a handful of times I saw that, but most of the time it was just, you know, Root Riders are already the OP event troops. So it kind of like, I don't really care too much if they mess up the balance, but in principle, I'd like to keep CWL like real troops only.
Yeah. And in principle, I agree. I just don't think it's been too big of an issue this time around.
Yeah. This time it was who cares.
I mean, that's actually kind of a good thing though, because that means like that they've implemented a temporary troop that actually doesn't break the game, so that it doesn't change that much. So that's actually maybe like an intentional part on their part.
It's real nice that the best use of the event troop is in the event, I think, which is actually kind of cool. Yeah, and it doesn't destroy. It didn't destroy legends like Lava Loon did, or the Cookie Spam did. They're real nice to farm with. And they don't mess up the competitive side of the game, so.
Yeah, as fun as having a broken event troop is occasionally, it is quite nice just having something a bit new, something a bit different, and not breaking the game. It's actually quite refreshing.
I will say this, though. The one thing that does annoy me with all these temporary troops is that it changes the placement, like the order of the troops when you're in your training bar, and so you have to relearn a whole muscle memory for training troops and giving donations and stuff, which is frustrating.
Yeah, like I told you, I've been like speeding through the event on all my alts. So like I have that muscle memory down of, you know, like I will use 3 barb kickers in my heroes, and then I'll go like quick train, like retrain my 3, and I drag them up and I go and I just to keep the Howlins at the front, and then I have a couple wall breakers and wizards and stuff for anything else that I need, but I hardly ever use them. And then I have that muscle memory down from doing it on 8 different accounts. And I go to I'll go to my Legends attacks on my main, or the account that I'm still farming up with Sneaky Gobs mostly. And I'm really messed up just trying to retrain armies on those accounts.
Yeah.
And oh, dude. And speaking of doing it on so many damn accounts, I know this is my own fault. And I, you know, like my complaints are probably gonna fall on deaf ears. But dude,
well,
48,000 boots. Balls or whatever the hell we're farming is so much, especially after like the really light easy month we just had.
I do wonder though.
Feels like a real slog.
Can you like actually finish the whole bonus track by just playing normally and attacking normally, or do you have to actually try to finish it? Because I just reached the bonus track today, without even trying. And I'm wondering if I still have enough time to just farm normally and just not care about it, because that'd be awesome.
You should. I know it's designed to let you finish in Legends with, you know, with plenty of spare time, and you, because you're limited to 8 attacks a day. So at least there, you definitely have enough time. Like, you're going to have to do a certain amount of hits a day on average over the whole event. But this is a really long one, too. This one started out like 16, 17 days, which is way longer than normal.
But that's good. It gives us more time to finish it.
Yeah, and you know, it's nice that the amount of footballs per base has already gone up, and it's going to continue to go up. So, like, really, the hardcore grinding needs to be at the end if you're going to do it.
Yeah. And, I mean, the fact that it's Inferno Towers, Archer Towers, and Cannons now, compared, and Stars.
Is there anything significant about Hallen to make it those specific defenses, I wonder?
Archer Towers and Cannons.
Maybe he just loves.
No, I don't know. I don't do, like, you. Maybe his soccer nickname was the Cannon or something. I don't know.
No.
Is he a tall guy? Is it about towers and firing balls? Like, cannonballs, fireballs. But, you know, is he like a super tall guy to make the two towers?
I mean, he is very tall. He is absolutely giant. No, I can't really think of anything that quite links Arch Towers, Inferno Towers, Cannons, and Hardens, but maybe I'm sure someone can create some sort of tangible link. No, I feel they just make it up as they go along. I mean, every event is a new random building to attack.
I mean, I would hope that they're using like data and statistic to track and see like, oh, this makes it better, this makes it worse, and use that to improve the game, but that would be my hope.
What do you mean, sorry?
Well, like, basically, if they see, like, oh, when we made the event that if you target, you know, the Clan Castle and the Warden statue, then, like, only 150 million players do it, whereas if you do Archer Towers, Cannons, and Inferno Towers, then more people do it, like, based on that kind of data statistic.
I think with Archer Towers, Cannons, and Inferno Towers as well, is that you can't really target them, because, I mean, to get all of them,
Hardrider and Royal Champion, Zaps...
You could do that, but generally to get all the Arch Towers, all the Cannons, and all the Inferno Towers, you just have to take down the base, right? So I'm not sure how much data they'd be getting from that, but I see what you mean.
Yeah, I'm just a big fan of using data.
In the Christmas one, it was like random defenses. The original Halloween was storages. Like, man, I hope we see one of those again, just for all the sneaky gob farmers.
Oh, storages are so easy.
The sour elixir back then. But yeah, and then was the Rocket Loon and Super Drag ones, were those random defenses? Whatever the Fireball one was always a Warden, and I get the theme there.
I can't even remember now. I genuinely just complete the event by just attacking and just getting the stuff as I play. I don't really target anything, so I don't even remember what I'm going for half the time.
How do you guys feel about the Hallen challenges? And all the different contests and all the different challenge maps.
Yeah, they've been cute. I like how they've been easy to do. So it's kind of been nice to not have to watch a video to figure out some random silly way to avoid this massive airborne farm or something. Yeah, all the silly things they sometimes do. So I'm glad it's actually been accessible. I get like sometimes it's nice to have a challenge, but realistically, most people are not spending ages on a difficult base trying to take it down. You go to Judo Sloth and quickly see how you beat it. So it's quite nice just having something which you can do without having to go to YouTube.
Yeah, I'd agree, actually. For half the challenges, I mean, maybe I just suck at the game, but I feel like two or three of them I kind of struggled, and so I was like, I gotta go watch a video about it. But other than that, I really love the free rewards, and yeah, it's kind of fun. Makes you look forward to something exciting every day or two. And I think it's a good thing. What about you, Rick?
It's a nice little, like, it's reminiscent of the Clash Fest challenges from 2 years ago now. With all little contests. I think those were maybe a little more creative. Like, remember the one that was like the sneaky gob? That was one gob that you had to invis spell through the whole maze?
Yeah.
In a certain order.
I remember that. And
like, none of these feel challenging in that way. But they are, like, a lot of them are little like puzzles to figure out. Today's one, Card Happy number 6, you know, like the trick about getting the hounds to kill the infernos. That's the puzzle of it, is using the yellow cards on the air defenses to make sure the hounds pop the infernos. But a lot of them are little stuff like that, just figuring out how to use the event troops and do cool stuff. And they're all fairly straightforward. There's one that's kind of difficult. Like if you've never done, I don't know how to describe it without spoiling it. There's one that's a little kind of difficult. If you've never done that style of attack before, you're going to have problems with it. And then number 12, the impossible final. That one. Oh, so much. Just wait, enjoy when you get there.
Are all these out?
No, leaking stuff.
Okay, right now. I was just checking. I was like, God, I don't remember playing these.
No. That's a bit of preview for the future.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, look forward to it already. Possible.
Yeah, it's nice how they've had the competitions as well to complete them quickly. Though, of course, they haven't been without their own controversy.
Yeah, the leaderboard.
Yeah, there's been a lot of cheating allegations.
But does that not just always happen? Like, whenever someone gets like really good, everyone always accuses them of cheating.
I think it was more the fact that people were getting removed from the leaderboards with the top times, which is what led to the questions being asked.
Were they being removed, or were they just being beaten?
Yes.
Because okay.
Yeah, they were being removed.
They dropped out, and then they came back later.
And we have no information on this yet.
No. In even if people were busted cheating, like that's not going to probably be an announcement, unless it's like the guy who is in first. Unless they're going to deny him that prize, then I really don't think we'll hear about if anyone was caught cheating or not.
A little sting operation to catch people quietly.
Yeah, because it was right before they announced that, or maybe the same first day is when they updated the fair play policy to say there's going to be massive ban waves for people using third-party tools to cheat. So, like, bots and people bot farming and stealing capital gold and doing whatever else, like, going to get banned. Should have been happening for a while, but I guess they just finally have enough resources to start taking it on again.
Rick, have you seen any other creators grind the leaderboard in the dev build so that they can upload an OP one on day one, or has that not been?
Well, I mean, look, I don't have a way to see who's doing the challenges. I don't even know if the leaderboard works in the dev build. That's
it
a good question.
It does. Oh, wait. I mean, I saw a video from Judo, and he showed a leaderboard working with like Clash Pathing and another creator. So I thought that did work, but I'm not sure.
I would have never even thought to look. But yeah, I guess in theory, some creators could have spent extra time practicing that. But also, like, these challenges are up for the whole month, so having an extra couple days head start on practicing that, I don't really think is a massive advantage.
Yeah, makes sense.
But now I'm gonna open the dev build and see who the creator leaders are.
Definitely gonna be you, Rick.
No. I played enough of them just to see what they were like, and then complain about them to Trample.
Yeah, I mean, coming back to the kind of the like the rewards on the challenges, I feel like maybe it's just me, but they're a bit underwhelming, like a bit not enough. Or am I just spoiled and used to awesome rewards? Like, I feel like just a bit of ore and a shovel doesn't do that much for me.
Who's the current leader on the first one? I'm going to open up two games because I don't recognize any of these names.
Well, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, it does look very similar to the Capital Bots names sometimes.
No, I don't know. Like, no? This is weird. I wouldn't have expected this, but like, sorry to interrupt and backtrack, but the dev build leaderboard is the same as the real one.
Wow.
Which is cool.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, they've definitely done an improvement on the whole leaderboard. Like, I remember when it was on the blog website, I think, and then
you had to go somewhere else to see it.
Yeah, that was very annoying. But I'm glad to see they've made improvements to that. But it's still first leaderboard is the same. Oh, wait, no. Oh, they've changed. Someone's beaten them. Yeah, I mean, it's good to see different names. It means like lots of different people are playing and competing competitively for it, which is nice. And I think that's kind of the whole point, is that people engage with it and be like, oh, how can I figure out to get these 3 seconds more? So,
do you think the rewards are any good? Like 50k gems for coming up on top of these?
Oh, yeah. I was actually surprised by that. I was like, wow, like, is Supercell just really generous? I mean, like, that's basically the same or more than the end of season rewards, if I'm not mistaken, for the clans, which is pretty awesome, I think, no?
Yeah. And then also, like, just the rewards for everyone are 300 glowy is pretty nice for free.
Yeah, but I feel like it's not enough.
For glowy, like 300 glowy is, you know, 6 days of Legends League for a Town Hall 16. Like, that's not bad.
Yeah, makes sense. But
like compared to what they normally give us, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but I suppose my critique is more like, why does it just have to be ores? Like, why not books or stuff like that? Like, those are more like for people who just don't want to invest in equipment, maybe.
You are the only one who doesn't want to invest in equipment.
I'm sure I'm not the only one. Like, I'm sure there's other people who just, they kind of saw through the scam and were like, yeah, I'm not going to invest in all these epic equipments because that's just a way to waste more time and resources. So I'm sure I'm not the only one. But yeah, I mean, the skins are pretty nice, though. I really like them. Well, have you bought any of the skins, Rick?
No. I'm still... I mean, I'm over cosmetics stage. I have the Gold Pass one, the RC one. I think that one's fine. I don't think the RC has a lot of good ones. I think the football RC is probably one of the better ones.
Yeah, for some reason, when I first saw the skins come out, I thought that they were all, like, the skins were going to have a special ability. But then I just realized it was just the spiky ball with the king. I was like... That'd be an interesting twist to game, like if you had skins that started having special abilities, but then it would be more pay to win, I suppose.
Yeah, that's definitely pay to win. If skins affect gameplay. All I want to have is skins that like help me find my heroes easier. You know, like I like the White Tiger for the King for that reason. I don't know, I just need like a skin that's gonna help them be visible through all the junk, like behind root riders and behind buildings and big mess of spells and everything that's going on.
Yeah, doesn't the champion skin have that with the flaming sword, or where like you can kind of easily find it from the map, or maybe I'm
where he's like holding up a little torch sword.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like
I know. Like I'm like plus you throw my color blindness in the mix too. I'm already kind of like, you know, I'm already a little lost. It took me like 3 years to stop mixing up jump and heal because those colors are exactly the same to me. You know, even like the lines on the spell didn't help. It was just. Going off color, I'd misdrop those all the time. It took me forever.
Yeah. Should we move on to Squad Busters? Nearly there, or have you already answered comments? I'm not really sure. Like, I haven't really been following Squad Busters at all. Ever since, is there an update on, did we reach the final tier of the sign-up thing?
The last I saw, I was almost there. It was real close, but the Squad Busters, I think it's a King skin. There's still a couple more weeks, and the final target was like 30 million pre-orders or, you know, like sign-ups to have it downloaded day one. And we'll probably get there. So
we'll reach it then easily.
Yeah. If you haven't went and pre-ordered, I guess do it. I think it just sends you a notification like, hey, this game's out if you want to download it. And I don't think it automatically does, but I'm not positive.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, I think it's nice that they have this cross-collaboration promoting the other game, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, they're really, like, they're going hard on Squad Busters, man. They must have decided it was just going live just, like, immediately, because it hardly had any betas. Like, it had maybe two open, really, like, 1,000 players kind of betas. Like, they must either have known it's a hit immediately, or just they're really trying to force it.
It would be kind of a shame, like, if they kind of promote this hard and then it just, you know, doesn't work out quite as well, like, most of the other kind of attempts games. But I would hope it's the instant success that they saw that made it launch that quickly.
All right, Liam, here's a question. You guys think that the last Town Hall should be the most difficult because now Town Hall 16 feels easier than other Town Halls?
Ooh. Does that imply that Town Hall 16 or like the last Town Hall currently available?
Yeah, I would think that, you know, like even as we move on, you know, like the final Town Hall should be the most difficult.
I agree and I disagree. Like and I'll tell you why. So I agree the first part because like it's kind of the last level of progression, the last kind of step. And so in a way it's like, hey, here's your like beat the final boss and like this is the hardest level of the game. So like this is your chance to show your skills and whatnot. And that's kind of encouraging because it's like when you're playing with everyone else and they all also have the same difficulties, then it's like, yeah, like we've reached the top level of the game. That feels rewarding in and of itself. On the other hand, personally, from a preference point of view, I don't like it when it's too hard. I just want to like do my raids, do my attacks, easy stuff, pick up the loot. I don't really want to have to think of, oh, what strategy do I have to use and whatnot. So there's where I'd be like, yeah, I'd like the current kind of easy just root router spam. But I think there's an argument on both sides to be made, especially for players who want to play competitively. What are your thoughts on that, Rick?
Yeah, to some extent, yeah. I think years ago, the game was laid out in a way that like each town hall kind of progressively introduced you to more concepts. You know, like you kind of you're learning the basics in the first couple town halls, and then you get healers at 6 and dragons at 7, and that stuff really kind of forces you to like think a little more deeply and learn how to funnel with drags. And you get hogs at 8, and hogs were still pretty meta at 9, and you know it did get progressively more complicated and more difficult. There's a ceiling to that though. You can't just continually make it harder. To answer that guy's question, I don't know that 16 is easier than probably, I'm assuming you're talking about Town Hall 15, because I haven't played at 15 in over a year now. So I don't really know. Like, if you want to make the argument that tripling is easier at 16 because of how OP equipment is and root riders compared to the attacks you have at like 13 and 14, I could see that. I think that's probably a debate worth having if 16 is easier than those levels. In principle, yeah, I think it should. At least the top couple town hall levels, it should get progressively more difficult and then kind of plateau and stay at a certain difficulty level for the final town halls.
Yeah, I think especially compared to that at 15, like just based on the subreddit, there were far more a lot complaints on the difficulty of the game and how difficult it was to triple. So it does kind of feel like 16 is easier, at least for a while, than it was at 15. And I think they bounce back from that.
As long as you've kept up on your hero levels and equipment levels and, you know, you're not rushed, then it's hard to argue that 16 isn't, you know, not just the easiest. It's definitely the easiest top town hall we've ever had. And I don't know, it might be easier than some lower town halls if you're talking like 14 versus 14, where the average 14 kind of probably is without max heroes and all max pets and everything else. I don't know. It's tough. And I think that it's even in question is probably the answer.
Yeah, true. No, I mean, I like it.
Do you agree with this guy that says I think they went all out on equipment without considering how easy it makes it?
Yeah, there's definitely truth to that. So, like when they added the whole equipment thing in, I think they were planning on it to be more like this kind of like a nice little 1 or 2% bonus. But I don't know if they expected it to be such a significant influence with the epic equipments, especially. And so I wonder if that was intentional or more like an accident. But I don't think it was meant to like change it so significantly, because now like just with heroes and different equipments, different epic equipments, like it does kind of change the whole difficulty a bit. And yes, giving me equipment is dangerous.
I think making the game overall easier is intentional. I think it's intentional that it's focused around heroes still, because that's, you know, heroes are still their main source of income through hero books and now through, you know, buying event passes for the ore and just straight up buying ore. I know when Spencer and I talked to Vesa, he was saying, you know, he was telling us like, yeah, the point is to make heroes feel even stronger, because, you know, the way they initially doled out equipment and gave us levels of equipment, that was intended to make your heal, make your heroes feel the same strength, and then you can go above and beyond what, you know, those equipment levels too. So my Town Hall 9 heroes got level 9 equipment, but equipment goes to like 12 at 9. So in theory, my heroes with that equipment are now stronger than they were at previous max Town Hall 9 levels. And that's all intentional, and they've had plenty of time to do balance changes on equipment and heroes to fix it, and they haven't. So safe assumption that this is the state of hero strength that they want.
Yeah, I mean, it does bring me to two questions. I mean, one of them is definitely what I really appreciate was that equipment now allowed you to have a special ability without having your hero at level 5. So, like, on all my rushed level 1 accounts, I didn't have to upgrade each hero to level 5 to get this special ability. I could now just have them instantaneously, which I feel like makes them a bit stronger.
If you have all level 1 heroes on all your rush 200 accounts, yeah, I guess.
Which I do, yeah. and the other part is, as well, like, are they planning on just having every epic equipment be capped out at, what is it, 28, 27? And are they going to upgrade, are they going to change that in the future? Or is that the max level that it's going to be for always?
I don't know. Like, people have asked that question, and I haven't seen anyone get an answer yet. So I think all we have to go on is that Inside the Builder Hut video we talked about in the last episode, or, you know, that everyone knows about. They kind of said they're going to get every hero 2 epics and 4 commons, and then reassess at that point what they want to do with it. So whether that's a new blacksmith level, a new commons, and keeping everything at those levels. I mean, kind of worked that way, at least at first, where we got a new town hall level and level 10 was still the same for every pet. We just got new pets that went up to that level. I don't know. There's a lot of ways they could take it. I don't know that I would want to invest more ore into gauntlet level 30 at some point.
Yeah, and that becomes insane amounts as well.
And at some point, they have to rebalance those costs, too. Hopefully with part of the rebalancing of the cost of everything with when Town Hall 17 comes.
Can't wait.
I like how Godly is saying definitely. Like, that's not what that word means. You're trying to predict the future. You can't say definitely.
Or it's the hot inside tip because the parent works at Supercell or something from, you know, and we'll find out in 5 years that that's the hot tip.
That was still... One of my all-time favorite Reddit posts was back during Clash Fest, the World Championships 2 years ago, where they did all the decade stuff. Like, months before, some kid just posts, he's like, "Hey, you know, like, I'm 12 years old. My best friend down the street, his mom is working on a Mario Kart ripoff for Clash of Clans," and everyone just laughed at him. And it was like 4 months later, Clash Dash was out. It was like, that kid was telling the truth.
Oh,
he's gonna get his buddy's mom fired.
Right, I suppose those things are kind of rare, so. But they do make for funny moments.
Yeah. All right, yeah, we can start wrapping this one up. So Spotify has this feature that we've never actually used. You can, through the Spotify mobile app, you can record a little message and it sends it to us, and then it makes it easy for us to put that into the podcast. So if you have a question and you aren't part of the live audience or have something you want to say or troll us or who, you know, I'm really surprised no one's even sent us like a hate message or just a troll message through it at least. But if you have a question, ask that on voice. We can play it and answer it in the next episode. I want to give it a try. So please, a couple of you at least, do that. If you don't hear that in the next episode, it means no one did it and I will feel embarrassed.
Is it, have we not received any yet?
No. I don't know how widely it's used in anywhere, but anyone who publishes through Spotify, I know they make it pretty easy, and we do. So if you're on the Spotify app, somewhere under the show notes or on our podcast page will be an option to like send a voice message or voice memo or whatever they call it. But yeah, give it a try. If you ask a question, we can play your voice and answer it on the next one.
And we definitely won't, you know, screen them for anything. So this might be your chance to rise to fame.
React to it. I mean, yeah, we can always edit that, you know. That might be fun. True.
Would be fun for the live audience, kind of.
This episode will be up tomorrow. Because I have to go finish Mother's Day stuff, and I won't edit and publish today.
Could be a nice incentive, like, if you submit your voice note and you show up in the live audience, then you might get to hear some unfiltered version of the voice notes and be like, get more people to listen in live. But yeah, could be fun. But yeah, go out and send some voice notes.
Some guys said, can you guys drop a beat? And I know, did Spencer send you his little AI Clash songs?
I don't think he did, no. I need to hear that.
Yeah, maybe I'll tack it on to the end of this episode.
Didn't you have some AI voices of us? Or
I don't have an AI voice of you. The tool I used didn't ever handle accents very well, but that was like a year ago, so hopefully it's gotten
better. So you're saying I have an accent, is that what I'm hearing?
I don't, like you have something going on. Like I don't the accent is the word that jumps out at me, but like I don't know, like who's ever listening? You agree with me or tell me I'm crazy or whatever. Like Liam has an accent, right?
No, I can't place it. The thing is, no one can agree on it. They all say it's either German, French, or something.
Yeah, American. It's your European mutt accent.
No, like, you got a little bit of everything. I'm just American, and
you're clearly not American. You're very obviously not American.
Except that I am, and I actually have a passport, which most Americans don't. So, you know, just saying, whatever.
That doesn't make you an American.
Moving on, Rick, we've had this debate before, and we both know I'm right. So it's all right.
First of all, I'm going to Google how easy it is to buy a fake American passport.
But it's not fake.
The number one Google result is about passport fraud from the State Department.
Nice. And I mean, then again,
and then also Amazon, I can get a bunch of blank passports printed out and fakeid.com.
But if you're saying that I have a fake US passport and I can get into the US with that, then you're basically saying your passport or border control is just terrible. So if they let me through in the US citizens only lane, right? So I think that speaks for itself. Yes, I'm a citizen. I have to pay taxes and everything, Rick. What do you think?
Do you pay American income taxes?
I have to pay American income taxes, yes.
Like for income earned in America? Do you earn any income in America?
No, for income earned outside of the US.
So you still have to file?
I have to file my taxes, yes. Double taxation.
Oh, this is Godly just posted something I think is a good, it would be a good thing to talk about probably on a future episode, Town Hall 17 predictions, because me and Spencer don't know anything about Town Hall 17 yet, other than the color.
Ooh.
So anything other than that, we can definitely try and make predictions at, which would be cool.
So, like right now or on a?
No. We'll do that later with Spencer and Sam.
All right.
On the next one. But yeah, like so, mark it down on our document just to say, Town Hall 17 predictions. All right, Liam, do you have any shout-outs?
I would like to shout out the whole live audience here. You people are awesome. Thank you for being here and for listening to us ramble on. And yeah, just shout out to all the mothers of the world and all the women who just keep this world running. We do a great job as a world team. And that's my shout out. What about you?
Yeah, I was just going to say, shout out to all the moms out there and all of your mothers. Call them, tell them you love them. Happy Mother's Day, everyone, and we will see you in 2 weeks. And if I decide to, now enjoy some AI music from Spencer, not on the live one. Small, yeah. Opinions fly, no topics off limits here. I don't know why we even put that in, but there was. Okay, also, finally, just want to say congratulations, Trample Damage, on 1 year of your awesome podcast. I love listening to it. There's a lot of us who do. Hope you keep it up for another year and many more. Take it easy, and thank everyone else who hung out through that song for some reason. We'll catch you in 2 weeks.